Right. Thank you very much, Pastor. We're in the book of Ruth. If you've been following with us, I've just elected to continue the study that we started with the teenagers in the book of Ruth, and a lot of great things. Just enjoyed. I don't know about you, but that missions letter was a treat this morning. My goodness, I'm thinking from a preacher's perspective. If you can't preach after that, my goodness, I don't know when you can. But that was an excellent prayer letter. Of course, the teenagers and my wife and I, we were with the Canavans last summer, and the building that was referenced in the letter it's a beautiful building. It's a great location. They get visits from a lot of folks, and that really getting into that building was so important to them hitting another level as far as reaching more people. And the Lord has blessed. It's needed some upkeep and some work, as was referenced. But boy, the Lord is just doing a work there, and that's exciting to hear about. All right, we're in the book of Ruth, and Ruth chapter 3 is where we will begin today. And just a reminder, parents and teens, if you're watching, we do have a virtual snack tonight that I'm really excited about. Parents, I hope that the teens do not take your snack, whatever that's going to be, and that they're able to stick to whatever maybe you got for them. But we'll have a special time of testimonies after the service tonight and be able to fellowship with the teenagers and see them. And so we're hoping that everybody's able to turn out. For that, I posted the link on our Facebook page, our youth Facebook page, as well as my Instagram account. Okay, the book of Ruth. Let's go ahead and start looking at chapter 3. I want us to notice here, sort of catching up to speed from the last time we talked, and we were looking at chapter 2 and talking all about grace. And really, our title, I guess you could say, was Seeing Grace for What It Is. Just amazing. And we talked about that amazing grace. We looked at the genuine grace that was offered here. We looked at the guardian of grace. And then we referenced the guaranteed generosity of grace. And truly, Ruth and Naomi come back to Bethlehem, Judah, and they're looking for grace. They're looking for fields of favor, and they begin to find that. And as we get now into chapter 3, Ruth has made her first trip into the field of Boaz and found it very favorable. Boaz sends her on her way. She's got food enough for her and her mother-in-law. She returns back at the end of chapter 2. And her mother-in-law is just excited about the experience she had in Boaz's field. And that's when we come to chapter 3. Notice what it says, verse 1. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said unto her, "My daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee? And now is not Boaz of our kindred, with whose maidens thou wast? Behold, he winnoweth barley tonight in the threshing floor. Wash thyself therefore and anoint thee, and put thy raiment upon thee, and get thee down to the floor. But make not thyself known unto the man until he shall have done eating and drinking. And it shall be when he lieth down that thou shalt mark the place where he lie. And thou shalt go in and uncover his feet and lay thee down, and he will tell thee what thou shalt do." And he said unto her, and she said unto her, "All that thou sayest unto me, I will do." And she went down unto the floor and did according to all that her mother-in-law had bade her. And when Boaz had eaten and drunk, his heart was merry, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of corn. And she came softly, uncovered his feet, and laid her down. Verse 8, "And it came to pass at midnight that the man was afraid and turned himself, and behold, a woman lay at his feet. And he said, 'Who art thou?' She answered, 'I am Ruth, thine handmaid. Spread therefore thy skirt over thine handmaid, for thou art a near kinsman.' And he said, 'Blessed be thou of the Lord, my daughter, for thou hast showed more kindness in the latter end than at the beginning, inasmuch as thou followest not young men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, fear not. I will do to thee all that thou requirest, for all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman. And now it is true that I am thy near kinsman. Howbeit, there is a kinsman nearer than I. Tarry this night, and it shall be in the morning, that if he will perform unto thee the part of a kinsman well, let him do the kinsman's part. But if he will not do the part of the kinsman's to thee, then will I do the part of the kinsman to thee. As the Lord liveth, lie down until the morning." As we get into this chapter here, we're going to sort of title our thought today, Resting Well. resting well. And we take our phrase there from the first verse of chapter 3 when Naomi says these words to Ruth, her daughter-in-law. She says, "My daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee?" Heavenly Father, I pray that you would guide our Bible study today. And Lord, I know that there are some, Lord, in our congregation, in our church, Lord, who are seeking Father's spiritual rest this morning. Lord, I ask that you would grant that to us. And Lord, show us the path to experiencing great peace and rest in our hearts. Lord, I pray that we would glean some things here from the book of Ruth. And Father, that we would be taught of you and your Holy Spirit. Lord, help us to lay aside our pride. Help us to lay aside, Lord, our selfishness. And Lord, allow us to see you high and lifted up this morning. We ask these things in your name we pray. Amen. America has a sleeping problem. According to the CDC, people in America are not resting well. Out of the 320 million people, about 70 million people experience sleeping issues. More than half of that suffer from what people would call chronic sleeping disorders. Maybe some of you here today think, well, you know what, that's me. I didn't sleep well last night. I thought this was interesting. Some researchers suggest Americans sleep at least 3 hours less than the average American did before Edison's discovery of the light bulb. Activities, of course, used to be constructed to daylight hours, and that could be one of the reasons. A host of things can attribute to improper rest at night. Among those, illness, stress, can be diet, sometimes distractions, phones, computers, entertainment and such, and a host of other things. But I think we'd all agree not getting the rest we need will eventually impede our overall health and effectiveness. Finding the right amount of physical rest can be a real challenge, but its importance cannot be overstated. The same could be said for occupying a place of spiritual rest in the Lord. Just as there is something to be said for physical rest, spiritual rest is also important. Have you ever been in a place in your life when you felt as if your spirit, your emotions, your innermost being needed rest? If you have, you find yourself being able to identify with some of the characters in our story today. And not only with these, but with David himself, who implored others in Psalm 37 and verse 7, "Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him." Maybe you're here this morning struggling with the cares of this life, laying in wait for some much-needed spiritual rest. Let's notice this morning, for those that are seeking rest, some principles to get there. Notice number one, that rest is possible. I want you to go back to Ruth chapter 1. Ruth chapter 1 and verse 9. I want to reference a verse here that I think is key. Under rest is possible. We see this here. Verse 9, it says, "The Lord grant you that ye may find rest." This is Naomi speaking to her daughter-in-laws here before they go back to Bethlehem, Judah. She says, "The Lord grant you that you might find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband." And she kissed him, lifted up their voice, and they wept. So we see here that these folks were in search of rest. But I want to understand that rest is possible this morning. Now, sometimes when a newborn is brought into the house, a mother thinks to herself, is there ever a moment when this child is going to sleep through the night? Are we ever going to get to that point where I can finally get that uninterrupted sleep that we so need and so desire? On that note, y'all pray for us. In about 2-3 months or so, we're going to be in that boat and probably seeking rest. But nonetheless, as we go with this, rest is possible. You know, I can remember some of the most busy moments in my life in the back of my head, just, okay, when am I going to get a chance to take a nap? I found that when I got to college and had a couple of jobs on my hands and studies and staying up late. And boy, that thought when I would wake up in the morning, is there 5 minutes anywhere that I could somehow get just a couple of minutes of rest somewhere in the between? I can remember working in the kitchen at college and having a couple of breakfast shifts where we had to be at work at 4:30 in the morning. And I just remember, when am I going to get that rest that I need? It would usually come in my 8 o'clock class. No, I'm just kidding. I wouldn't take naps in my classes. Okay, but nonetheless, rest is something that we all seek, whether it's physical or spiritual. We've all been there before. But I want us to notice that what seemed impossible for Naomi and Ruth at one point is becoming very real in chapter 3. You know, in chapter 1, they're destitute of rest. Orpha and Ruth, because they don't know the Lord. Apart from the Lord, they don't have that rest that they need, that spiritual rest they need. Naomi needs spiritual rest. We find that she's bitter. She has a noisy heart. She's got stuff going on inside of her. She's conflicted, and she's not at a place of peace and rest in her heart. So she needs that. I'm sure at some point it just seemed quite impossible for her. They're occupying a seemingly impossible rest, a possible position. But I would ask us this question, how is rest possible when it seems that we've lost everything? Because that's exactly the situation that these ladies find themselves in. This is a tough spot. Chapter 1 is a period of just hardship and grief and difficulty. And you look at that, and you would look at the fact that these were ladies in this day and time, and you would say, wow, I don't know what the solution is here. A seemingly impossible situation where it seems impossible for them to be at a place of rest is now leading in chapter 3 to rest that is becoming very, very real. Notice the connection, though, between rest and marriage, or our homes, we could say. Go back with me to chapter 3. We've just read in reference chapter 1 and verse 9, where Naomi says, you know, go back and be comforted with what your husbands had for you in Moab. And notice the tie and the connection here between rest and our homes. We see in verse 1 here, of chapter 3, then Naomi, your mother-in-law, said unto her, my daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee? Okay, so Naomi is referring here to her own ambitions of Ruth having an established home. Okay, that's the underlying thought here. Naomi is thinking of the future of her daughter-in-law, and maybe even her own future, and understanding that their future needed to be tied to some type of stability that would come from maybe a kinsman, a close relative here who would find protection and shelter for them. And so that's kind of what she's alluding to here when using the word rest. And you know, I love so much what Pastor Jeremy said last week about our homes being a place of grace. But you know, our homes should be a place of rest as well. You know, sometimes our homes are not what they should be because of pride and selfishness. Let's heed the words here of Solomon, Proverbs 14 and verse 1. Every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. Paul then reminds us of how we can dwell together in Ephesians 4 and verse 2. He says, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. Even Isaiah chimes in, chapter 32, verse 18, he says, and my people shall dwell in a peaceable habitation, in a sure dwelling, in a quiet resting place. Rest should categorize the atmosphere of our homes. Notice next of all that rest is possible for any circumstance. They're pursuing rest here, and it is possible. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, Jesus Christ said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and what? I will give you rest, for ye shall find rest for your souls. I love that. There are no stipulations on that type of problems that an individual has in order to find rest. There were no qualifications on who could come, but simply that a person believed that rest is possible. You know, you talk to a person who is trying to make a change in their life, and maybe they're discouraged at the front end, but really until that person sees hope for the future, and until that person sees that goal is possible, the person usually can't take the first step in completing it. And so we have to understand that if we're seeking spiritual rest today, we need to understand fundamentally that spiritual rest is possible. And so we have these ladies here seeking seeking that, seeking rest, means that we believe that rest is possible. But number two, notice that spiritual rest is wrapped up in a person. Notice verse 2. Naomi here is categorizing and describing here the type of rest that she envisions for her daughter-in-law. In verse 2 it says, and now Boaz, she's speaking here, is not Boaz of our kindred, whose maidens thou wast? Behold, he winnoweth barley tonight in the threshing floor. And so she immediately associates this with a person, and we think about all that Boaz brings to this equation. We talked about grace last week, and we drew some comparisons between Boaz being the kinsman redeemer and how the Lord Jesus in matters of salvation has done that for us. He's been our redeemer. When all hope seemed lost, he stepped in, and the Lord provided a sacrifice through Christ Jesus our Lord. But as we look at Boaz here, we understand that he's a special individual. And I don't know, maybe you have questions that you look forward to asking certain Bible characters when we get to heaven. Maybe there's some things that you'd like to ask the Apostle Paul or even David or maybe even Daniel. The more I study the book of Ruth, the more questions I come up with in regards to just things I want to talk about with the characters relating here. You know, I think about, as we talked about last week, when Boaz notices Ruth for the first time, I sort of wonder if when he, you know, immediately came into the field and sort of looked out, I wonder if maybe her beauty caught his attention. You know, I don't know. I could kind of assume that, but that would maybe be a question. You know, he's got a lot of character, but can I just say this? He was in a unique position to provide rest for Ruth, but Boaz's ability is but a small reflection of the rest that can be provided in Christ. And Boaz was simply a conduit by which the Lord is providing rest for other people. And certainly the Lord gives us abilities so that we can do that for other people. You know, I've met some great comfort givers. Now, I'll never forget a couple of years ago when I went to Florida and preached my grandfather's funeral. I remember after the funeral, there was a gentleman who came up to me, and he provided some very comforting words that I still remember today. And that was a special time. And so I just think about how the Lord puts people in our lives at certain points, at certain moments, to give us the things that we need to hear. And that's what I want to be. I want to be a conduit. Just simply a conduit of grace of God, but also the ability to provide rest in certain situations. And that's what Boaz, that's what's happening here for him. Notice Boaz's approachability here. Verses 3, notice what happens. Naomi gives some strategic instruction here. She says, "Wash thyself, therefore, anoint thee, and put thy raiment upon thee. Get thee down to the floor. But make not thyself known unto the man until he shall have done eating and drinking." You go now to verse 7 and 8. Look at what it says. "And when Boaz had eaten and drunk, and his heart was merry, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of corn, and she came softly and uncovered his feet and lay down unto her." Notice his approachability here. And this is, like I said, this is a little bit of strategy here for Naomi. Okay, she envisioned something for her daughter-in-law, Ruth. And she had great plans for her. And she, just like a mother and father would perhaps do, as they sit down and envision future mates for their children. We hope he loves the Lord. We hope that he's a hard worker. We hope that the Lord leads our daughter, our son, in a plain path and is able to bring all of that together. You know, Naomi has those visions too. And she's kind of strategizing here, and on a very practical level, she says, "Now, Ruth, listen. This is what I want you to do. When you go after he eats." Now, I'll tell you, it shouldn't always be this way, but sometimes I am just in a better mood after I've had some food. It should not be all that way, always that way. But you know, maybe some of the guys will connect with me on this. But you know, sometimes when I'm working at a full day of work, maybe you just grab a little something light for lunch, or maybe you even skip lunch because you're so focused on doing something. And then you get to dinner time, and it's 5 o'clock or it's 6 o'clock or whatever time you're used to eating dinner, and you just get that, you know, your stomach's been growling for a long time. You're anticipating whatever it is that you're going to have, and comes that moment you sit down, you just begin enjoying that meal. Boy, it's a special thing. I sort of picture here Boaz as Naomi is given some really specific instruction to Ruth. Now listen, you just wait till after he's had his dinner. Okay, and then after that moment, you just kind of go in there and then you do exactly what I tell you to do. Boaz here is approachable, and Ruth will find that as she goes in. But the approachability of Christ is incomparable. You know, sometimes we need rest because we need salvation, and there's a lot of people out there that do. John 6 and verse 37, Christ said, "Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." Christ is approachable. Sometimes we need rest because we need daily forgiveness. Maybe he won't forgive the things that I've done. Maybe because I've just asked forgiveness for the same thing yesterday. But Christ forgives. Sometimes we need rest because we need his strength. Isaiah 40, verse 31, "They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength." I'm so glad the Lord is approachable today. We see that Boaz was approachable. We see that it's in verse 9 here. Notice his ability here. And this is verse 9, really speaks to the ability that he has to provide this rest. It says in verse 9, he said, "Who art thou?" And she answered, "I am Ruth, thine handmaid. Spread therefore thy skirt over thine handmaid, for thou art a near kinsman." And the skirt here has the idea of his ability to provide for the situation. This would have been a cloak that a man would use. And when a widow would go to her dear husband's, her dead husband's nearest of kin, the skirt then would symbolize the opportunity of that near kinsman to meet the needs that were there, to care for the individual in marriage, to purchase her dead husband's property out of the debtor's court, and so on. She would go in and ask to fulfill the right of the kinsman redeemer. "Please take me under your care. Please take me under your protection." This skirt symbolized those things. You know, as I look at the idea of this skirt or this covering, I think about how the psalmist talks about the wings of protection of the Lord. Listen to a few verses. Psalm 17 and verse 8 says this, "Keep me as the apple of thine eye. Hide me under the shadow of thy wings." Psalm 36 and verse 7, "How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings." Psalm 57 and verse 1, "Be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed." Psalm 61 and verse 4, "I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings, Selah." Psalm 63 and verse 7, "Because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings I will rejoice." We notice that his ability to provide for her was clear. We notice his affection for Ruth. Notice verse 10 here. It says, And he said, "Blessed be thou of the Lord, my daughter, for thou hast showed more kindness in the latter end than at the beginning, inasmuch as thou followest not young men, whether poor or rich." We see here that Boaz had a great admiration and affection for Ruth. He loved her, and it's clear from that he's ready to do for her what she is asking, but he's also a man of character, which is later set in the passage. He had affection for her. Jesus Christ certainly has affection for us. 1 John 3 and verse 1, "Behold what manner of love the Father has given unto us." So we see his affection for Ruth, and we see his action. Verse 11 through 14 talks about that. It's his character is tied in with this as well. But Boaz was a man of action. He wasn't going to passively sit by and let these ladies go unprotected. Or was he going to passively sit by and wait for this nearest of kin that he speaks of that existed to somehow eventually provide for them? No, he's a man of action, and he's going to do something about it. We see that rest is possible, but rest is wrapped up in a person, and for us, that's Jesus Christ. Notice thirdly and finally this morning that rest must be pursued. Must be pursued. Notice here in verse 5 and 6, notice the instruction that Ruth receives in verse 5 and 6. The Bible says here, "And she said unto her, all that thou sayest unto me, I will do." This is Ruth speaking to her mother-in-law, Naomi. "And she went down unto the floor and did according to all that her mother-in-law bade her." We see rest must be pursued. And rest was pursued through obedience. Okay, there was an obedience here to the command that she had been given. And before we think that Ruth was too forward, let's remember whose instruction she is following. She was doing exactly what her mother had told her to do. And boy, isn't rest for the Christian so much tied to obedience? I mean, I can think of moments in my life as a teenager when I was not being obedient to my parents. And boy, there were certain moments where I felt like, wow, this isn't so bad. But you know, when I pillowed my head at night and it was just me and the Lord, boy, I had a noisy heart. I had a noisy spirit inside of me that was saying, hey, you know what you're doing's wrong. And, you know, I'm so thankful that the Lord keeps after us that way. And I'm so thankful that He doesn't let us go our own way, but is constantly calling us back home. And I find that rest can be pursued, but it's got to be pursued through obedience. And so I've got to look at it and say, okay, hey, I want my place to be, I want to be at a restful place today. I want there to be peace in my heart. I want my spirit to be settled before the Lord. I have to ask myself the question, am I being obedient to the Lord? Not just in one area, but am I following the Lord in every area? Teenager, I would challenge you, look to your life. Look to your schoolwork. Look to the things that your parents tell you at home and ask yourself the question, am I doing exactly what they've asked me to do? Am I cutting corners? Because I guarantee you, you won't have peace when you lay down at night. So we understand that rest must be pursued, and it can be pursued through obedience. Notice the second thing here, that Ruth had the patience to wait on Boaz to do as he had said he would do. If you go down, look at verse 13, and we see here Boaz being a man of action. And he says at the end of verse 12, he says, "Howbeit there is a kinsman nearer than I." He doesn't just rush in and say, okay, hey, this sounds good to me. Let's go ahead. No, he says, hold on a second. There's somebody that's nearer than I. He's a man of great character. Verse 13, he says, "Tarry this night, and it shall be in the morning, that if he will perform unto thee the part of a kinsman, well, let him do the kinsman part. But if he will not do the part of the kinsman to thee, then will I do the part of the kinsman to thee, as the Lord liveth. Lie down here until the morning." You know, Ruth has been put in an interesting position now. Boy, can you imagine it as she sort of approached Boaz? I'm sure she would have had great respect for him. You know, she has come from Moab. She didn't grow up with a lot. She certainly didn't grow up with the Lord. And so there's that spiritual deficiency there. And she's growing a little bit, and she's getting to know Naomi's God, and it's her God, and it's a special thing. And she meets this individual who's got sterling character. He's a spiritual man, and yet he's a hard worker. And now her mother-in-law says, hey, all right, Ruth, go in and ask him if he'll do the work of the kinsman. Boy, I can't imagine what she was thinking. I'm sure in the back of her mind she thought, well, he's an honorable man, and Naomi wouldn't tell me to do something that was going to be conflicting. And boy, I can imagine it took great courage for her to walk in there. And at the same time, and then hearing the reaction of Boaz, now there's the waiting process. I wonder if in her mind she was thinking, oh my, I hope that other kinsman doesn't take action here. You know, oh my goodness, I guess I didn't realize there was someone closer to this situation than Boaz. I'd sort of set my eyes and heart on him. Oh my goodness, what? Okay, well, I can imagine she could have been getting a little bit anxious at that moment. And then she goes back and she shares with Naomi what's happened. And hey, you know, everything's good, Mom, but one slight thing, and maybe it's a hiccup, we don't know, but there's a kinsman closer than him, and that could happen. There's a lot of things that are up in the air right now, and simply put, you know, Ruth is having to be a little patient. She's having to just quiet herself before the Lord and say, you know what? The Lord's got a plan. It's going to be okay. It's going to be all right. Boy, I look at how the Lord gave me handfuls of purpose the other day. I see how He provided for me in the past. And Well, that's a God that's going to provide for me in the future. She's seeking rest through obedience, but also through patience. Let's look at the final thought here. Not only do we see that rest is possible, rest is wrapped up in the person of Christ. Rest must be pursued, but then we see that rest is promised. We look at verse 14 here. Look at what it says. And it says, and she lay at his feet until the morning. She rose up before one could know another. And he said, let it not be known that a woman came into the floor. Verse 15, also he said, bring the veil that thou hast upon thee and hold it. And when she held it, he measured 6 measures of barley and laid it on her. And she went on to the city. You know, I can't look at you this morning and say with confidence that you are going to get the physical rest you need tonight. Now, I wish I could. Now, there's probably a whole lot of sleeping pills that will make that promise to you. But I can't do that this morning. But I can guarantee you this, and that is that spiritual rest has been promised from the Lord. Boaz gave Ruth a big down payment here, and Bible scholars believe that this could have been some 60 pounds of barley that Boaz gives Ruth here. And we could call this sort of a down payment of what was to come. And certainly the Lord, we've heard Pastor preach many times about the Holy Spirit that has been given to us in the form of a down payment, and the earnest of the Holy Spirit, as Paul said. And that's a wonderful thing, and it's just a small picture for the Christian of what is to come. You know, for the disciples, having stood and talked and saw the Lord speak, that was a wonderful thing. But then Jesus Christ begins to talk about the work of the Holy Spirit and calls him the Comforter many times and tells them that, hey, you know, I'm the Holy Spirit and my presence is not just going to be right by you, but the Holy Spirit's going to be in your heart. Boy, sometimes we think about, if I could only see the Lord, boy, it'd make all the difference in the world. Understand that what Christ gave us and his disciples was one step closer to you and I. He put the Holy Spirit in our hearts, and the beauty of that is it's just a small fraction of that which is to come. You know, when we think about spiritual rest, we understand that that can be a reality for today, but we are literally moving towards, if you've accepted Christ as your Savior, you're literally moving towards a place of perfect rest. A place of perfect rest in heaven where the curse of sin will be removed. You know, I'm not going to wake up in the morning and have to struggle with a good attitude. I'm not going to be confronted with going about the business and seeing wrongdoing over here and over there. I'm not going to have to worry about sickness. But to be at a place to be able to experience the presence of the Lord, to see Him even face to face, and for all of eternity, boy, that's a promised rest that I can latch on to and look forward to. We've seen this morning that rest is possible. We've seen that rest is wrapped up in a person. Rest must be pursued. We see finally that rest is promised. Christian, do you have spiritual rest in your heart today? It is possible to have rest, spiritual rest, in the midst of conflict. Maybe you say this morning that, you know, I'm in that boat. I have an issue with just feeling overwhelmed at times. And can I encourage you to just find rest in the Lord? Can I encourage you to slow down and do what you know is right, be obedient, but then also be willing to just be patient before God? Rest is something that we can receive and we don't have to wait for. Physical rest can be something that is elusive, is it not? Well, I remember speaking to my grandparents and talking to them about the rest that they received. And it would seem that sometimes the older you get, the more elusive sleep becomes. But it doesn't have to be that way for spiritual rest. We can be at spiritual rest right here and now. Let's pursue it together. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for the lessons we're learning in the book of Ruth. Father, each of us have moments in our day, Father, where we become anxious. Lord, we get upended because somebody said something or some event took place. And Lord, we don't want that to categorize our day. Lord, help us to trust you. Lord, help us to be completely at rest with you and to pursue it through obedience and patience. Father, thank you for the strength that you provide, the grace that you promise, Lord, in times of difficulty. Lord, we ask that you would help us to live as Ruth lived and be obedient to you. In your name we pray. Amen. Thanks for joining us for Sunday School. We'll see you in about 20 minutes for the morning service. Take care.